Let us know your prayers tonight. I'm thankful that God is in control of all things. There are times when the world around us will try to bring fear that things are out of control. We hear of things like global warming. Man's maybe going to destroy this thing. You know, way back at the beginning, God made a promise. He gave it to Noah at the end of the flood. Just a little simple verse. But you know what? If we can get a hold to it, it will carry us through these times that we're living in. It says, while the earth remains, there's going to be seed time and harvest, summer and winter, day and night. They're not going to cease. They're going to continue until God calls it into judgment. I'm thankful for that. God's word is what will stand no matter what people think about it, no matter what they say about it. There has been a verse that I want to use tonight that has been a challenge to me for my life. Because the world around us, the religious world around us, live pretty much on the surface compared to what God requires of us. I would like for us to look at a verse tonight. In Galatians, the 6th chapter. There are some instruction that God gives us. And then there are others that he gives that it's almost like he puts an extra warning with it. This verse seems to me has an extra warning given to it. 6 and 7 of Galatians. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. You know, just that part right there is, that's enough. It's just like his promise back there, while the earth remains, it's going to go this way. This verse at the very beginning lets me know, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That law is still just like the law that God put in place when he spoke the word and this world came into existence. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, guaranteed to happen. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Always before when I've read this verse, the thought that comes to me is this is instruction to the sinner. Remember, the sins that you are committing, there is going to come a time of reaping for those. But this verse, as I read it recently, lets me know this is a warning to both saint and sinner. It talks about sowing to the flesh. Don't be deceived. Those that sow to the flesh are going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. But I would like to take a look for a little bit at the side that I have never really thought about before. Don't be deceived. He that soweth to the Spirit, just as much of a guarantee, don't be deceived. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Why would this have connected both of those together? Don't be deceived in either one of these. Don't be deceived, Christian. It's going to be true. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It tells us in Matthew 24, if it were possible, said there will be false prophets that arise, that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. So there is a danger of the very elect. The Christian that has his desire made up, I'm going to live for the Lord. The devil would love to deceive that one too. I'd like to show you a picture of how that happens. I'd like for us to go to Psalms the 73rd chapter. Maybe as we look at this chapter here, maybe we can see how deception can come to a Christian. Starts out, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But something started happening to this person that had a clean heart. As for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Fourth verse, there are no bands in the death of the wicked. Their strength is firm. Have you ever had those kind of thoughts come to you before? Has it ever been presented to you, you're living for God, you are doing your very best, and look at all the things that happen in your life. It just looks like to the Christian, God would sure give him more than that. You know where that's coming from? That's the devil desiring to deceive the very elect, if possible. And as I read this 73rd chapter, he goes on down just several verses, and it comes down to the 13th verse. It seems like I have cleansed my heart in vain, and I've washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. You ever felt that? As a desire to live for the Lord, have you ever looked around you and said, wow, it just seemed like the Christian is having a lot of adversity coming into their lives all the time? This person, when he looked at it all, 16th verse, he says, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And I look at this verse that we're looking at. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Christian, don't let the devil deceive you by looking at, by him pointing to all the adversity that comes to the Christian. Remember, he that soweth to the Spirit, it's going to happen. He's going to reap life everlasting. For us to be able to get a view of that, to reach out far enough to be able to realize, you know what? Keep on sowing to the Spirit. We will reap life everlasting. So as I look at this 73rd chapter, it seemed like this person was almost going to come underneath it. But then something happened. 17th verse, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood therein. Deception, the possibility of being deceived, is avoided. Because I went into the sanctuary and everything became clear to me then. It said, surely you have set them in slippery places. For us tonight, desiring to live for the Lord, to remember the devil would love to deceive us also. But keep in mind, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. He's got a promise to the Christian that will carry through just like the promise that he made to Noah. No matter what happens, it's going to continue this way. Folks, if we will be faithful, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that soweth to the flesh is going to reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. And then it goes on down, it goes just a little farther than that. It says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not, if we will continue faithful to the Lord. There is a verse in Ecclesiastes. Because the devil would like for us to look at the troubles that come to the Christian and focus on those. But here's a verse I'd like for us to take a look at. 8th chapter of Ecclesiastes. And in the 12th verse, we need to be able to keep this in our mind. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, I won't let that get me down. If I look around and it said, it seemed like there's no bands in the death of the wicked. Have you ever seen people just live their life like they just however they want to live it? Don't serve God at all. And it seems like they can just go out into eternity, everything's still going well for them. Folks, I want to tell you something. There's some value to us for the Lord to send some things my way that causes me to prepare myself for stepping across that line. It will do us well. You know, I've often thought, okay, if you could decide, how do you want to go out of this world? I've often thought, okay, I'd like to just at night just go to sleep and you don't wake up the next morning, you're just gone. You know what? That's all fine if you have prepared yourself. You know, I believe God saw the seriousness of it enough that He's willing to send things our way to let us make, like we heard Sister Lewis talk about, are you sure? Are you very sure? We need to be very sure. And so I look now, it changes how I look at things. When I have seen some of the saints that suffered for years before they died, and it seems like, it looks like the Lord could cause, if you're going to live for the Lord, things are going to go very well for you. And it seemed just the opposite. Don't be deceived by that. It's because we're not able to see the value of eternity and making heaven our home. And whatever it takes, Lord, send it my way. With this, I often think about Dad in his last months. He was not able to lay down to sleep. Leaned his head up against the wall because he could not lay down. He had congestive heart failure. And I would hear him, you could hear the buggy click when he would turn it on at 3 or 4 in the morning and we were staying there with him. And I would go in and ask him, Dad, what's the matter? Are you uncomfortable? You know what he knew? He was soon to head out of here. And he said, no. He said, I just want to be sure. I want to be very sure. Willing to let the Lord deal with him however he wanted him to be able to make heaven his home. So when the devil would come to us and say, you know what, it looks like the Christians would have a lot better things going for them. They wouldn't have so much difficulty in their life. Compare it with eternity. If I can make heaven my home in the end, it'll be well worth it for whatever he would send my way. I was looking at the definition of deceived, misled, led into error, cheated. I don't want to be deceived. And with a message like this, you know the easiest way to deal with it is to look around and say, I wonder if it's this person or this person. But at a time like this, I want to turn the light in and say, Lord, I'll be the one standing before you for myself. I thought about the disciples when Jesus told them just before his death, one of you are going to betray me. You know what? 11 of them did the right thing. They didn't even trust their own understanding about themselves. 11 of them said, Lord, is it I? Could it possibly be me? Lord, would you show me? I don't see it. I think everything's fine. But Lord, is it I? And then Judas. How could Judas do it? You know what? He was deceived. How could Judas look in Jesus' face after he had walked with him all that time and had seen Jesus when he perceived the thoughts that people were thinking before they ever said it? How could Judas come to a place that he could look Jesus in the eye and say, is it I? I thought about Jacob with his father. I was reading that story in the last couple of days. How could it be that, first of all, Jacob's mother could say, here's the deception that we're going to pull on your blind father? And when Jacob himself said, I don't think it'll work. I think I will be caught by it. She said, let it rest on me. I'll take care of that. Folks, we're sowing and we're going to be reaping. Jacob sowed. He and his mother could not have imagined what it was going to cost for that little bit of sowing. He just wanted the blessing from his father. And then there's a verse that talks about deceiving and being deceived. That happened with Jacob. He deceives his father, and then life causes things to turn around and come back again. And then his father-in-law deceived him. There's a verse of a song. We are sowing every moment. Seeds, they're going to yield something. Seeds that yield much good or bad. And each one is surely growing. It's either cheering souls or it's making them sad. There is a law of sowing and reaping that God has put in place. We read this verse, it's back in Galatians, it's in the New Testament. But you know what? That law was started way back at the beginning of time. With Adam and Eve, this law was in place. When he told them, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but don't eat of this one, lest you die. There's going to be some sowing. There's going to be some reaping. It started back then. And you remember it continued on. Eve could have never realized what that sowing was going to cause the reaping to be. Where it talks about sowing the wind and reaping the whirlwind. So much more coming back to me than I ever realized when I sowed it. She saw it as just a fruit that she wanted to eat. Thought of the scripture where it says that Adam was not in the transgression. It was Eve that was deceived. But you know, when I look at it, that didn't help Adam any. It just means that she didn't deceive him in the fruit that she gave him. She didn't say, you know what, this tree, this came from another tree that God has told us we can have of it, and he ate it not knowing. You know what, he knew where it was coming from. So really, he was deceived along with her that he ate of it, knowing what the law was for that. There are scriptures that give us a guard against being deceived. One of those is in the 12th chapter of Luke. Luke 12 and 1, at the end of that verse, it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. For me to be able to realize, you know what? There is nothing I'm sowing that God's not watching, and it's going to be some reaping come from it. I was thinking of Eve's children. She could hardly have imagined that taking of this fruit and eating it, just a little ways down the road, I'm going to have two boys, and one of them will kill the other. That is part of the reaping that comes from sowing. And be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he's going to of the flesh reap corruption. So I think about that when Cain and Abel offered their sacrifices. God accepted Abel's. He did not accept Cain's. And Cain was wroth. You know, God visited him at that time and said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Laying it out, he's going to soon choose the fruit that he takes. You'll be accepted, but if thou doest not well, sin lies at your door. And he made a choice. To the young people, remember, all sowing has a reaping. It will not be otherwise. There's another verse that helps us. It's in Hebrews in the 4th chapter. The world would like to dilute what it takes to be a Christian and make heaven our home. But you know, it gets down serious when we see these kind of verses. In the 4th chapter of Hebrews, 12th verse, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, He's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Young people, throughout your life, remember there's nothing hidden from God. He knows it all. He knew when the thought came into the mind, I'm going to betray Jesus, Judas. Nothing was hidden from him. Nothing is hidden from him today. There's another verse in Ecclesiastes 12. As the book of Ecclesiastes closes out, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandment. This is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Remember, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. In the 12th chapter there that we just read, it says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Sowing and reaping. Thought about the story of Ananias in the 5th chapter of Acts. Have you ever just tried to sit back and think about how could that have happened? We read in the chapter before that, and even at the very beginning of the book there, where Jesus is going away, and the angel says, he's coming back again. They understood it to be very soon. So they prepared for that. It says in the 4th chapter there that many of them sold their possessions and brought it and laid it at the apostles' feet. Why would you need it anyhow? He's coming back soon. We'll put it all together and live on it until he comes back. Ananias and his wife Sapphira were in that group. Hypocrisy is a deception. It deceives both ways. It's intended to deceive everyone else that I'm putting 100% into this. That's what Ananias desired the people to think. Says he sold the possession. He kept back a part of it, his wife being privy to it. The two of them together agreed on it. And I try in my mind to think about what it must have been like as they headed to church to give the money that they got for the house. They have already decided in their mind. You know, there's still time for them to turn around. There was still time for them to say, what are we even thinking? I want to ask God to forgive me of even the thought. But you know what? They thought they could pull it off. You know, folks, we're not dealing with people. We're dealing with God. And we're dealing with eternity. And it's going to be good for every one of us throughout our life to remember that. I'm dealing with God. He knows my thoughts and intents before they ever become an action. He knows it all. He knew it with Ananias when they were selling the house and the thought was presented. You know, maybe Ananias had questions about whether Jesus would come back as quick as the others had said. And I want to have a fallback plan. And you know what? Peter told him there would have been nothing wrong with you doing that if you would have said, you know what, I'd like to just give half of what I sold it for. You could have done it while it was in your power. And he told him, he said, you didn't do it to man. You lied to God. Hypocrisy is a deception. It's going to deceive me into feeling like I've got everybody fooled. If only Ananias had remembered. God sees everything before he ever took it too far. There's a verse in Ecclesiastes 8 and 11. Because when we read that of Ananias and Sapphira, judgment came on them immediately. And it caused a stir. It said, of the rest durst no man join himself. Nobody wanted to play church anymore. It was serious. But here's the danger for us today. We're in a time of mercy, where God allows mercy to be extended to us. Ecclesiastes 8 and 11 lets us know that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You see how it has changed? When Ananias fell down dead, and then his wife Sapphira came in a few hours later, not realizing what had happened, and she stood by the story that they had agreed on, and she died also, it caused a great stir. But we don't see that happening today. And that's a great danger for us, for me. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. There has been, as I examined myself, I thought of it this way. What if I come to church regular? I give a testimony to salvation. Maybe even preach to you on how you should live. But it be a life of hypocrisy, a false appearance. Cover it well throughout my life, and go out into eternity. Maybe at the funeral, maybe enough people saw good deeds, maybe even the minister, to tell of the good deeds I had done. And maybe even many say, believe he went to heaven. But what I would be hearing would be the song, Lost Forever. Oh, how sad. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, there's going to come a time of reaping. The reaping I want to have is because I sowed to the Spirit. I want to reap life everlasting. The devil would love to deceive us all. He would especially love to deceive the young people. That there is no reaping for the sowing that's done out in sin. I talked to some of the children at the Path of Life this year, and I've tried to remind each year that I go to there. You know, we have the ability to look in the rearview mirror at lives that have been lived and the reaping that has come from the sowing that was done. You know, the Path of Life School has been for many years now. There have been many teachers spent many hours giving instruction with a desire that the students would get a hold to it and go out and live for the Lord. But you know what? Just as it is for us all tonight, each one of them had to make a choice on their own. And so we get to look in the rearview mirror at the price of sowing and reaping. We get to see what has happened to those who of the Spirit sowed to the Spirit and have reaped so much good in their life. We also get to take a look at those that chose to sow to the flesh and of the flesh reap corruption. And that doesn't just wait until the end of life for the sowing to come. Don't be deceived. Thought about the wisest man that ever lived, Solomon. The visitations that Solomon got from God. The first one was a great visitation from God. God telling him, you just ask whatever you want and I'll give it to you. I believe why God could give him that kind of an offer was because God knew his heart. He knew what kind of things he was going to be asking for. And Solomon asked him, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to lead this people of yours. Would you give me wisdom? Would you give me an understanding heart that I'll be able to lead them?" He got another visit. It was still a positive visit. But this second visit added some things to it. Solomon was dedicating the temple to God. Solomon had a great testimony that he was given to God. He said, "Shall I indeed, the God who dwells in heaven, am I going to be able to do anything by offering just this little thing to him?" Solomon realized who he was compared to who God was. Solomon was humble. And God told him, "I'd like to dwell here forever." But then I noticed something happens in this second visit. He says, "But if, sowing and reaping, but if you don't keep the commandments that I have given you, this house that I just promised you that I'll be there forever, I'll walk away from it. I'll leave it to where people will say, what happened to it?" You know, the problem with that was years passed after God had made those visits. We see about the Queen of Sheba coming to visit Solomon. And you know what? Solomon was still following close to God, to where she could leave there and say, "The half has not been told." And you know, one of the things she saw was how Solomon ascended to worship God. I don't think she saw that as him being an equal. I believe she saw this wise man walking humbly before God. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. "Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." In Deuteronomy 11:6, and I can't help but believe that Solomon, as wise as he was, knew what the Bible had instructed. It said, "Take heed that your heart be not deceived." You know, deceived warnings was way back there too. "That your heart be not deceived and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." Time passes and something starts happening. The wisest man that ever lived is becoming deceived. In 1 Kings 11th chapter, God had given Solomon warning of how to live his life. In the second verse it says, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods." Solomon clave to these in love. It says, when fourth verse, "It came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect." And it says that he went after these other gods. How could it be, after he has had a visitation from God Almighty, you would think, "I can carry this to my grave"? But the devil is out to deceive us, just like he was out to deceive Solomon. We have no record of Solomon ever repenting. Why? We saw when David failed God, David would have been lost had he not repented. But David repented and God forgave him. How could it be that the wisest man that ever lived did not? And then we see that not only did he, from what we see, he did not, but also he did the very same thing that was tried to be done to his father David. When God anointed a king to come after Solomon, Jeroboam, Solomon tried to kill him. You know, you would think Solomon would have spent the rest of his time begging God to restore him back to where he used to be. But we don't see that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. I feel like this is a warning for all of us. Young people, as you look around you at the world going out and doing whatever they want to do, keep this verse in mind. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, it's because of the mercy of the Lord that he allows people to continue in sin. But there's a price to pay. There is a cost that will be involved. There was a price for Solomon to pay. But you know what? There are some verses that desire to guard us against being deceived. One of them is in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter and the 5th verse. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. My understanding will lead me astray. You know what? It had to have been that Solomon's own understanding led him astray. Because it just seems right for him to have gone out and married Pharaoh's daughter. Because Pharaoh will not bother him again when he's got Pharaoh's grandchildren. But God had a law that he had given. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. A promise from God. There's another verse in Psalms 139. A prayer that if I will pray it from my heart, God will help me. Search me, O God. Psalms 139 and 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know, the best thing for me to realize is that I really don't know my heart myself. I think I do. I think I'm making right decisions. But you know what? Then a verse tells me every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But God is the one that weighs the spirit. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. You know what? That doesn't mean that it's come to fruit yet. It may be still in the seed process. That if I don't take care of it now, it will grow and cause me trouble out in the future. See if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. There was another verse that tells us the danger of being deceived. In 1 Corinthians 15 and 33, lets us know, don't be deceived. Evil communications will corrupt good manners. You know what the devil would like to tell young people and really the rest of us too? You won't be affected by it. The Word of God says, don't be deceived. Evil communication is going to affect. Evil communication. Lord, help us. There is another step toward deception. Because they receive not a love for the truth. I look at that verse with the message that we have tonight, and it's a warning to me. I need to receive a love for the truth about who I am. Not who I think I am, but who God sees me to be. And you know what? That can be affected by the influence of the world around us. That can be affected day by day. So I need to keep this prayer before the Lord. Lord, I want you to search me today. Tomorrow, Lord, search me. Is there anything that is in the seed process today that if you would help me with it, danger, trouble could be avoided out in the future? There's a verse in Matthew 12 and 43. You know, we're so glad when a person gets saved. We are so glad that the power of salvation can drive out, can clean up a person. I look at this verse. You know what? If we could go to heaven right after salvation, everything would be great. But you know, we're going to have to do some maintenance to keep it. This one says in 43 of Matthew 12, when the unclean spirit's gone out of a man, He walketh through dry places, that unclean spirit, seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, I will return into my house. You see, that spirit still claims, this is where I lived, and this still belongs to me. I will return to it. I will return to my house from whence I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept and varnished. And garnished. The danger for me was salvation. Don't leave it empty. Empty is a dangerous place. Because there is something circling me all the time, looking for empty. You know, we heard last night about a warning about what cup am I drinking of? You know what, that can be a warning to me of the beginning of a direction that I'm going. What am I seeking to fill my life with? Here it says he found it empty. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits, more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. You know what? It does not have to be that way. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Folks, you know what? For there to be nothing in me that Satan can claim, it's going to take more than my own inventory. I'm going to need the Lord to do the inventory. I see sometimes when you're traveling down the road and you want to find a place to stay for the night, you don't have to go in and ask them, do you have a room? Right out there by the road, many times they'll have a sign that says, there's vacancy here. Letting you know you can come on in. You don't have to ask the question, then we tell you it's full. They also have a sign that lets you know if it is full, there's no vacancy. Folks, in our life, when Satan comes by, we don't want him to even have to come up to check. From out at the road, I'd like for him to know, by the life that I'm living, there's no vacancy here. I want to be filled with the Spirit. There's a verse that tells me, it still tells us, in 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, and it lists the lust, flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, are not of the Father, but they're of the world. I can have those start to creep in at any level, to a level that is mild enough that I say there is no harm here. But you know what? The Lord sees eternity out ahead. And what it's going to mean if I miss it. He does not want us to take a chance with it. Because you know, it's not enough when Satan comes by for me to say, I rebuke you, Satan. And for him to say, but you have some things that belong to me. You have some of my stuff. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, I call heaven and earth to record against you this day. I have set before you life and death, and blessing and cursing. And then he went on just a little bit farther, and he said, choose life, so that both thou and thy seed shall live. The choice is ours. Young people, the choice is yours. How close you will choose to walk to the Lord, with the Lord. How much of the world you will take in and hope to still be able to please the Lord. Remember, the Spirit's going to come by and check, looking to see if it's empty. And it can be filled with so many things today. And I'm headed for eternity. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Just like God said, as long as the earth remains, there's going to be summer and winter. He has also let us know, if we sow to the flesh, it's still the same. We're going to, of the flesh, reap corruption. But it's also just as true if through my life I will sow to the Spirit. I will of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And I don't have to wait to go to heaven to enjoy it. I will be able to enjoy it here. I would like for us to sing a song in closing. It's number 393. If we shall scatter tares in the fallow, how shall we hope that they shall not grow? We cannot gather wheat for the garner if only useless weeds we shall sow. Soon we're going to gather what we now scatter. Unto your life give diligent heed. Lord, help us tonight.